This is RSVNB Update, episode 362, recorded Friday, May 25th, 2012. QBD, quarterback defense. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening so far to this RSVNB update, which is all of 40 seconds in. We're here with our usual panel this week, so.
Hello, everybody.
So, what do we have this week? Anything?
Well, we got a new mini quest, some tweaks and fixes, another wild weekend, and a little video, behind-the-scene video.
With the... What'd you call it? QBD? What was your new acronym for that?
Quarterback defense.
Quarterback defense.
I wonder if Shane actually knows what that is.
I do. But we'll get to that all in good time. So as you said, first up is the quest. Song from the Depths. So, Song from the Depths. A song is actually featured in this quest, but it's not the kind of song most people would think of when they hear a song. There's actually a whole point towards the song. So let's start off with some requirements for this, because, well, there are no requirements aside from being a member and talking to Lucille in Remington.
And slight combat gear, but really it's not needed.
Yeah, nothing much. The things you have to run through in the quest are level 2.
Yeah, bring like, I don't know, 5 tunas or something.
Yeah, even if you're high level, that's probably all you need to bring, because it is nice to heal up a bit from that. But in any case, continue.
Not necessary, but, you know, very nice. So basically, people are asleep. It's a pitcher plant effect right now. The whole pitcher plant. And what happened is you go in.
Never mind. What? Never mind.
Too early, Shane. Let it go. Let's see. You go to Remington. You go to Remington. You see some people falling asleep. Lady asks you for help. You go upstairs, drink a sleeping potion, and you go into their dream. And you're trying to...
And it's a shared dream, too. I was a little bit upset that this wasn't more linking back to that Star Trek episode I mentioned. But in any case, continue.
Shane, what was that? 2 minutes? 3 minutes in that you already started?
2:20.
Almost broke your record, didn't it? Well, anyway, your quest mission is to find a way to get her husband to wake back up, and you're basically trying to get through it. And halfway, you meet the guy called Raptor who just wants to kill everything.
Typical adventurer, typical PVM type adventurer, I think.
I'll say typical guy, typical surgeon, because everything can be solved with a hammer and nail.
Okay.
And you go, and basically throughout the whole thing, you hear a song playing in the background that kind of helps you guides you through the quest.
What'd you think of the song?
The song was nice. There was actually a point in the songs, but that's more quest related. Nothing over the top. I'd say it was standard. I mean, it's a video game, so I thought it was standard voice acting, standard music, nothing like super fabulous.
Yeah, and you know, it's the same level of quality that we saw last year in One Piercing Note. So it's the same level of quality for Jagex's new standard for audio.
Mm-hmm. And they had some named stars in it. Yeah, what's his
name?
Yeah,
you were noticing this because you recognized one of the voices, so tell us what you found.
Well, actually, you recognized the voices, and I just started looking through it. One person by Rob Rackstraw, he was one of the voices in The Witcher, in The Witcher 1. I can't remember who it was, though, because I haven't played that game in a while. And another one by the name of Sarah Poyser was actually a singer from Mamma Mia.
The musical, right?
Yes.
That's weird. I recognized voices when I've never played that game or seen this Mamma Mia musical.
Oh, Mamma Mia, it's kind of one of those. You hear it all the time. You hear it once in a while. But yeah, the person who sings the song is Carrie Boylan, but I do not recognize her face.
How do you spell that last name?
According to this, with two L's. Bollland.
Okay. So also in this quest, the idea is to follow these souls that are sleeping toward the end. Through doing a little puzzle, at near the end, I wouldn't call the other things on the floor the puzzle, where you need to trigger the symbols on the floor to open up a door. But the tree at the end, that was interesting. What do you think of that?
I was interesting. I thought I had to cry the first time because I couldn't figure out what door to go through. And
That's true.
then I maximized the screen. I was like, oh, there's a water door over there. Okay. So then that's when things started making more sense, and all right, got through it without any problems.
And
I was kind of
also,
hoping to fight the raptor dude. Get his hammer, get his flail hammer.
yeah, but I think his equipment layout of having the dragon shield and the flail is a good thing to note, because that's probably something that the QBD will be weak against come next week.
And so basically you end up in the stomach of the mighty Queen Black Dragon, although it's not very black.
Lots of acid around. It looks like a typical stomach, you know?
Well, no, not enough mucus.
I think one thing they could have done to make the feeling inside the stomach a little bit more authentic would be to add in some screen shaking, so that, because you know this dragon's not going to be sitting still, so when the dragon moves, just make the screen wobble a bit.
Well, when you get vomited out, it was more or less just sleeping. Unless you want the breathing, but
Which
yeah.
was sleeping?
The queen. Yeah,
Okay.
it was resting. It was, actively running around looking for food. I mean,
Yeah, well, I was saying, it would have been nice to just have some kind of shaking in there, because I don't think a dragon would be completely still on the inside if that was to be the case, so.
So yeah, that's pretty much it for this quest. And you get a crossbow and a necklace and some arrows.
Yeah, coral arrows, I believe.
And a coral crossbow and a can't remember the name of the necklace. Necklace teleport you to the cave so you can fight QBD next week. I have not ventured all the way down though. I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, also from the reward, there's a thing you can do further down in the dungeon, which I didn't do, but you can get something like 30k Constitution XP if you have a higher level.
Oh, cool. Kind of useless for me. I already have 99, but cool.
Yeah, but I could use it too. And as you're saying, there's also the dungeon, the Grotworm Lair, and these are worms in there that are Slayer creatures now, so they can be assigned by the appropriate level Slayer Master. So it should be interesting to see how that all factors into next week with the QBD when that comes out, and whether or not you'll have to run through that dungeon or where exactly it is, because we didn't exactly see the direct doorway that you have to go into to get to the QBD, did we?
Not the actual door. I mean, we are all basically in the guy's brain. But yeah, we'll see what happens next week with it. Right now, I believe it's just a portal that we cannot get through.
Yeah. And it's also worth saying that the coral bolts, if they're going to be needed, are relatively cheap, because they are dropped by the level 10 grot worms, so it's not like they're going to be hard to get should they be needed for the QBD. And they're not tradable too, so actually I
Oh,
think
they're
they're
not.
not tradable. So it makes sense that it's such a low level there that you can just go in and fight those. Also in the lair is a level 91 grot worm and a level 167 grot worm as well. So something for everybody in the list. And the grot worms really don't have anything kind of any special drops to them. They're just generic creatures, not people, that they want to go fight. So nothing really to be concerned about down there, at least not yet, because they did say that next week these drops will be expanded of the grot worms to include the new draconic items from the Dragonkin.
Well, that's interesting.
So there will be a reason to actually go down there and fight those next week once the QBD is out.
Huh. Turns out there's some kind of shortcut to get to the bottom layer of the Grotworm.
Hmm, okay.
According to the wiki map, but I haven't gone down there, so I don't know yet. I only went across the acid just to see what's on the other side, and you know what? I don't feel like going all the way down today. I don't think I'll just go back up.
Yeah, there's really not much point to go down right now when, A, you can't really fight anything and get any decent drops down there yet, and there's no point to go visit the QBD yet because, well, we're going to be going down there next week, of course. As stated, you will need 60 summoning to face the Queen Black Dragon because there's a portal there.
Mm. And also, the necklace that you get in the end of the quest is also supposed to help reduce damage from her. So that's a good thing.
And also, the crossbow will be upgradable next week as well. So it's definitely preparing for the QBD.
Maybe we should go and farm some crossbows.
Maybe. But, you know, this thing's going to be soloable. So,
Tis a shame it's not a multi-area. Then someone just grab, put a cannon down and just kill everything.
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing that the QBD is going to be only soloable because too many of the people who go on these boss runs rely on their huge groups of 20-plus people. And I think, in general, the game is sort of lacking unique experiences for the single player. Aside from quests, of course.
Mm.
But anyways, that's pretty much all we have to say on this quest for this week. Tweaks and fixes?
Nothing particularly stands out with tweaks
and Remington.
Fixes. I thought they got a little graphic update.
Yeah, and my frame rate is still max throughout, so it's good that the frame rate didn't get killed like it got killed in Taverly that time.
Oh, now they kind of really did fix up Taverly. Now I went there the other day, and I'm not getting any big lags. So I'm saying they learned from their mistake. Let's see, anything from tweaks and fixes? No, nothing.
Yeah, skills and mini games. Right click option for find wizard and best rune is good.
Yeah, that will be helpful for people. Cast remote farm and mobilizing army teleports from a rune span runic staff. Banking a recolor no longer breaks the coloring. Huh, that's bad.
yeah, it's weird that would happen, but I don't think. Yeah, there's nothing really else on here that I have to mention.
Yeah, everything else is just a little fix here and there. Some store upgrades, but nothing major.
Also, moving on to this last, or I guess it's the last Mad Weekend. More monkeys.
Oh.
Chase the monkey.
What is it with them and monkeys this month?
So essentially, the monkeys of Rhydoian Zoo have been curiously observing the penguins and their spying antics from Saturday to Monday, inclusively. If you manage to hunt down 10 monkey escapees who are running wild throughout RuneScape, you'll be acclaimed an exclusive monkey cape. Mm. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Why monkeys? Are they trying to tell us something?
Quit monkeying around?
Well, potentially, yes, but I was thinking, what if this is like a sequel, a bigger sequel than that last one to Monkey Madness or something like that?
Mm.
Or is that pretty much done with that last quest in there? I forget what the point of that last quest was.
The last one was to build a little village in the desert with the three wise monkeys. But Maybe they're monkey spies trying to get more information on the humans.
Now, if that's the case, that would just be a pretty horrible story arc. Because we already have that with the penguins.
Well, penguins are scouting us, and the monkeys are scouting us too. You know, penguins and monkeys maybe have an alliance. Who knows? No, monkey penguin power.
I think there's some kind of ulterior motive to having monkeys the past 2 weeks here. Last week, the monkey barrel and the monkey hats, and now, of course, the cape and stuff. Why would you put so much emphasis into a little thing like this? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe they have a pet monkey in Jagex, but they don't want to tell people.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Just like they have Bob the cat.
I actually haven't seen Bob in a couple of years. I should try and track him down.
Oh, I saw him last month. He's still alive.
Still got his girlfriend with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
But so, this cape, like, look at it. It's got bananas on it and a monkey, like, hanging off the back.
Mm-hmm. It's hitching a ride.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand what the point of this is, but maybe I'm just looking for something that doesn't exist. But the second part is the zombie monkey invasion. The community team will be frequently spawning an invasion of zombie monkeys. You heard that right? Zombie monkeys throughout the weekend. If you manage to kill at least 5 on a given day, you'll receive an XP lamp for your efforts fighting back the zombie masses. This is repeatable from Saturday to Monday inclusive, so you can receive up to 3 XP lamps in total.
Cool.
Once again, why? Like, what's your theory on why this? Why the monkeys are in here all of a sudden? First, we had double Runespan points. Then we had, what was the first one? The second one was double Runespan points.
No, the first one was double Runespan. The second one was the boss. No, the one we just had was the boss one. I think it was
and the
was
barrel
also
of monkeys.
The one before didn't have anything to do with monkeys, I remember. So just extra tattoos.
Right, that's right. Tattoos. Okay, so two of them, the two tail ends are to do with monkeys. So I wish I had a monkey here I could talk to and ask about this.
Well, why don't you grab an monkey speaking amulet and head to Ardonian Zoo and ask one of them, what you guys doing?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
You can get in there with a Greegee. So
that's right.
Ask them what's going on.
I totally forgot about that. I will do that after the show and make an amendment to the show notes, depending on what he says. I'm writing down on my paper right now. Go be a monkey at the zoo.
Yes, and while you're at it, steal a banana.
Okay, I'll do that for you. You want me to mail it to you?
Yeah, if you want. But, to me, I highly doubt there'll be anything different in there anyway. It's just going to be the standard monkey speak stuff.
Yeah, probably. But who knows? They might throw something like this in. They've thrown things in before. Remember after Desert Treasure, they had the whole ghostly robes thing?
Uh-huh.
So maybe there's something like that.
Monkey robes?
Well, we already got the monkey set. I got my Hear No Evil hat last week, by the way, just since we're on the topic of monkeys.
Yes, I got a hat. I got a monkey hat on my first spin that week. I was impressed. I was like, wow, that has never happened before. Then I got a barrel of monkeys, which was completely useless.
Yeah. And I got one of those too, and it wasn't fun.
They should have made that thing tradable, and then like 2 years later, it becomes like one of the most expensive items in the game.
I think they learned their lesson on that. So.
Oh, I'm waiting for a party hat duplication bug to happen.
But that would be bug abusing. That's not allowed.
Well, think of it this way, Shane. I would be able to finally afford that white party hat for you, and we can finally show your picture.
Anyways, that's good. Bit off topic there, but moving on now to the Player's Gallery and QBD lore. So in this Player's Gallery, it doesn't seem like there's much of a theme behind it, but the winner, of course, is Val Helsing 2.
The quest villains?
Yeah, the quest villains one, which is pretty well done. I could see that just add a bit of don't save it as JPEG, and you do that and you have a pretty good desktop background, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a desktop. Let's see.
The RuneScape cake is nice, too.
Yeah, but it can cut off the bottom, which is kind of boo boo.
So yeah, well.
Shane, anyway, for the which one of the quest villains, can you try and name them all?
Well, starting I see Elvarg up at the top.
We got Nomad on the left.
Yeah.
Baro Brothers, I believe.
Well, if that's the case, two of them are missing, so I don't know what that is.
Well, actually, the middle, let's see, one on the far right of the four brothers.
That's not the Barry's brother.
Yeah, I realized that with the shield thing. I can't remember the guy's.
Mazrats, that's what
there
those
you
are.
Go. Yeah.
We got the tormented demons in the middle, I think.
We got that one boss from All Fired Up. We got Elvar up there on the top, and we have Draco up the top in the middle.
Yep.
We got the Lair, the Pest Queen, and we have the Corporeal Beast.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's pretty good and well detailed. So
let's see
what that one won. The Tree Spirit one is good too. I remember when these things first started, they were actually just drawings and stuff, and not as much computer generated stuff. And you know, I think over time they've gotten better with what people are sending in. So definitely a good work in this crowd. Most of them are actually all of them are pretty good, in fact.
What was Eye of Sarah Doman? Very anime like.
Hmm.
Eye of Sarah Doman. It's very right below the quest villains.
Okay.
Has a very cartoonish look. My only pet peeve is kind of small.
Yeah, you know, I don't like it when they make RuneScape look cartoonish.
Yeah, this one doesn't work very well. I don't see Sarah Doman being yellow like that.
No.
Let's see. But you can see the Stone of Jazz on the corner there. He's healing what's her name in God Wars Dungeon? Because you can see by her wings.
The Sarah Doman Commander Zelyanya or whatever?
Yeah. That one. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And there is, of course, a lore called the Mermaids and the Dragons. I'm not going to do a dramatic reading or anything, even though it is one of the shorter ones, so you guys can all go read that on your own time. Probably a good idea to do that by the time that the QBD comes out next week.
Alrighty. We have... you want to talk about that behind-the-scenes thing first? Or you
yeah,
want to talk about
I'm wondering why I'm hearing wind chimes on your end, though.
That's windows open.
Oh, okay, that's good. Makes it more real. All right, so we got more information this week on the Evolution of Combat beta. So here's the way it's going to work. Listen to it. Essentially, what's going to happen, any of their long-term members who's been a member for more than 12 months and who registers will have complete unlimited access to the beta for its entire duration.
Yay!
Yeah, so that's us. In addition to this, we will also be choosing 50,000 of our most active and committed members from the remaining pool of registrants. If you're not selected to participate, though, don't worry, as all members will have temporary access every weekend from 7th of
cool.
July until the time the beta closes. Okay, so that's good. The registration process will be open from the 1st to the 19th of June. On June 1st, they'll be adding an item to all player inventories. Clicking on this item will open up the Evolution of Combat website. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like an in-game pop-up type of thing?
Yeah, except it's going to open up your web browser.
Okay.
Then, of course, invites will be sent on the 26th of June, and when the official beta launches, successful applicants will be able to log into the beta worlds as soon as they receive their invite.
I wonder if you can play on regular RS and in the beta at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to work that, because it sounds like the beta servers are going to be separate than the regular servers. So,
but then again, you cannot play RuneScape Classic on RS2 at the same time either.
Yeah, so maybe they're going to do some kind of forking thing like that again. Who knows?
I don't know.
Are you going to sign up?
Well, we're already signed up.
No, you still have to sign up even if you're a long-term member.
Yeah, I'll sign up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be in there too.
Oh, I have a semi-wide array of weaponry. I'll just start, you know, maybe you and me start to go into the duel arena and see if we can exploit any bugs.
Yeah, and then report them, of course, because that's what you're supposed to do during a beta period.
Mike and I actually found a very bad bug a couple years ago in the duel arena. If you equip whatever weapon that you had, and then you go through the gnome ball game, you know how when you go in there, your weapon and shit automatically goes into your inventory and you're holding the ball.
Uh huh.
Well, what happened was if you went in there while holding, you know, a whip or a shield and a shield, you kept the stats until you teleport.
I remember hearing about this.
And, you know, me, hey, Mike, I think I found a bug. So I tried it with him, and surely enough, I would turn no weapon. We had the no weapon rule thing on, and I was hitting Mike really hard with my invisible whip.
That's funny. Yeah, so that's of course what we'll be looking for.
Uh-huh. And of course, I told Jagex about it. They're like, oh, we fixed it out a long time ago. Sure you did. Then why did I just do that like last night?
Yeah. Also, they got another behind the scenes video this week. This week, of course, featuring the Queen Black Dragon and the Queen Diamond Jubilee event that will be taking place next week. So, this is of course something to look forward to. For those of you guys who don't live in a country that is a member of the Commonwealth, this essentially means that the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II has been on the throne for 60 years, so that is why Jagex is celebrating this. So there will be stuff in the game next week that will, of course, be commemorating all this, and in the video and stuff, they got pictures that Varrock is being cleaned up and whatnot, and all the stray dogs are taken away, so it's essentially they're treating it as if it's a real royal visit to Varrock, which is, I think, a nice thing. And, you know, this is what I've always been harping on Jagex about, that I'd like them to focus on more of their UK-based things rather than the North American things, like when your Thanksgiving comes around at the end of November. And also in this, they had some interview with Modmark and basically said that the RuneScape game interface will change with the Evolution of Combat beta. So that's going to be kind of interesting, because next week I'm actually going to be writing something that's going to talk about a way of completely redesigning the RuneScape interface. And just a bit of a disclaimer here, I have not seen any of the beta stuff, so it'll be interesting to see what I come up with next week and what actually happens. So I'm excited about that, because Modmark did say that you are going to be able to use the new action bar for whatever you want to use.
Ooh, okay. This will be interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that what I'm kind of hoping for, too, is also they don't try and get rid of the AFK portion of the training of fighting. Although, you know, it's great to be able to do all that kind of stuff, I don't think many of us are in the mood to constantly click on the monster every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not
to the core of RuneScape, what RuneScape has been designed for.
Mm-hmm. And also the other thing is that, you know, if they do it that method, it may help with bots, because, you know, bots are not smart enough to, like, that guy is blocking with this, I should change to crush. Oh, that person is blocking using so, I should change slash. Oh, that person has a heavy shield, let me grab my crossbow now. Oh, well, maybe they'll try and put more of the multi-combat aspect into combat.
Interesting.
Sort of like you shoot someone and shoot a monster with an arrow to the knee, and then you come in close for the head cut, for the, you know, decapitation. If that doesn't work, then you teleport them down to...
Just wait. Did you even hear what you did there?
Yes, I know.
You did arrow to the knee?
Yes, I know.
Okay. Yes. All right.
I'm not posting a picture of it. I'm just saying it.
All right.
That meme should still die.
Anyways, that's it for our updates this week. So definitely an interesting week ahead, I think. Next week, maybe we will have our own Dragon Kite Shield by this time.
Actually, I'm kind of hoping that Dragon Kite Shield still treats itself as an anti-dragon fire shield. because
I don't think that'll be happening. I still don't think that'll be happening.
It's kind of like one of those things where unless you have super high herbal or to make the super anti fire, you're gonna be stuck using your anti fire shield thingy anyway.
Or the dragon fire shield.
Yeah, dragon fire shield. Which stats have are pretty bad compared to everything else now. So maybe hopefully the dragon kai will act as that as well. Act as it.
All right. Well, we'll of course touch on all this next week. So please do remember to be here for that. Anyways, moving on to questions right now. We got one audio question this week from a fellow named Rune Reaver.
Hey, Shane and Trekkie. Rune Reaver here. And my question for you is, do you think it's such a bad thing that some kids would want to spend the majority of their time on gaming, and that some parents should be more lenient when it comes to this? I know that if I were a parent, I would much rather have my kid play games than go outside and not know if they could be taking drugs or drinking or any of that bad stuff. Thanks for taking my question, guys. See you later.
All right, Shane, you go first.
Rune Reaver, I completely agree with you on this point. I know if I was a parent, I'd much rather have my kid indoors playing games where I know they're not doing anything bad or illegal or wrong or immoral, you know. So I am completely with you on this. And, there's nothing wrong with a person spending their weekend nights at home rather than going out and doing who knows what. So I actually think it would be nice if more people would do that. And I think it's a good thing that ultimately we know anybody who's on RuneScape on a weekend night is, of course, doing the same thing that we're just talking about here. So ultimately, I think it's a good thing.
Although it's not great, it's not terrible either. I mean, I'd rather be at home so I know where they are.
But, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't let Benny go out on a weekend night without knowing where he's going.
Well, it's not my concern. But, you
discipline him from time to time.
Yes, but one thing I always do is make sure I tell him. Well, one thing that video games do a lot of is they make people, they make kids a lot more frustrated because, they die or lose something and they get really frustrated at it. And every time I see my cousin Benny doing that, I tell him to turn it off, go read a book.
Wait, he's your cousin? I thought he was your nephew.
No, he's my cousin. Shane, where the hell have you been these past 3 years?
Okay, I will correct that note.
Oh, short-term memory, don't you?
Anyway, so, Rune Reaver, we completely agree with you here, and I'd be interested to know what spurred this question, exactly.
Maybe mom and dad are yelling at him for not going out.
Maybe. But, I think there's also something, if the parent doesn't know what's going on online, that might be more of a reason to encourage people to go out when in reality, it's safer to be home and somewhere that, your kid won't be, even if they're doing something like this, So, I mean, you can look at it both ways. You can see it as a bad thing or you can see it as a good thing. I personally see it as a good thing because I just know there are so many people out there who like doing bad things.
At least you know where they are. But
exactly.
Still let him go out. We always let him go out with his friends every once in a while.
Yeah, but just usually as long as you know house. If the friends are a good group. And make sure they're going somewhere that is a decent place to go. Not just going some random place or, deciding where they're going to go or just wandering about. That's not a good thing. Anyways, thank you, Rune Reaver.
Fun.
You got the essay.
Oh, fun. Thank you, Shane. All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. Dear host of Awesome B&B, what do you think about the recent unveiled Dish innovation that allow users to automatically skip over commercials and the fact that they are now being sued over it? Do you think that people who I called old media blank blank beep beep are justified on their outlash at Dish's innovation? Moreover, you think commercial skipping is wrong. Same with ad blocking. All right, let's see that one first. No advertisement means no money.
Yeah, that's true.
But the question here is, how many of us actually pay attention during the commercials?
That's a very good point. I mean, I don't remember the last time a commercial has made me buy something.
Mm-hmm. Almost anything we buy now is because we need it or we know it's coming out. We want it or we know what we need.
Yes.
The last time a commercial piqued my interest was basically because they were doing one of those sneak preview type of things, but that was, years ago. Everything else, like, oh yeah, it's coming out soon because internet is talking about it.
I mean, this is a moral issue. It's up to you where you want to put yourself on this. Do you think commercial skipping is okay? I mean, people watch shows because they want to watch the show. They don't want to watch the commercials. And every DVR I know of has some kind of functionality like that built in, not autonomous like this, but still just a few clicks. And it's still relatively easy to do. So,
as I also remember, I think it was TiVo a couple of years ago did this. I think it was TiVo that tried to get rid of commercials. People can skip commercials and they got sued over it. But quite honestly.
The way to solve this is simple for people that want to have this autonomous commercial skip, TiVo and Dish. What you do is you just pay extra. You just, TiVo and Dish had talked to whoever they talk to. I don't know if there's some ad
Media
regulator.
Corp. Big Media
about
Corp.
Who is having these ads, but whoever that is, you just pay a bit more to them, and you pass that on to your users if they want the commercial skip. It's perfectly legitimate to expect that you need to have some way to pay the bills. We need to do that on Airbnb. Transitioning into the second part, ads. That's how we make our money, and we don't like it when people block ads on our website, but there's nothing we can do from stopping it. But we of course encourage you to not do that. And, you know, the websites that you do go to and that you like every day, you hope that the people who are going there will not block the ads because they like the website and they want to make sure that that website keeps staying funded, because most websites out there don't have deep pockets to fund without ads. So, I mean, I personally don't use an ad blocker on my computer. The only stuff I like to block is Flash, because Flash is just pure annoying. So that's the only thing I block. But
All right. Second part. Also, Shane, I have a legal question for you.
I'm not a lawyer.
It is well known that using DVR for time shifting is legal, not non-infringing use, but is it still non-infringing use if you watch said time shift program more than once? If not, do you think DVR, PVR providers will be required to implement a one play only and no commercial skipping in the near future? Personally, I can see two workarounds for this. One being that if the show is not fully played, leaving 0.0001, for example, it would not be infringing. And two, being that you are simply time shifting to multiple slots of time. Let me know what you think. With Honey and Love from Fire Ring 401.
Okay. Now, there's one thing about this. As far as I know, there's no way for people to know if you're watching a time-shifted program more than once. So, as far as I know, this is... I see this as a non-issue, because there's no way to know, because you have the local copy, of course, on your hard drive, so you know if you've watched it more than once. Or, I mean, you're the only one that knows that information can't be sent back, because if you think about it, these cable boxes that we're using are designed to be work on a variety of networks all over the world, as long as the standard is the same. So I personally don't think that this is possible. But, I think that it's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Mm. It's a little bit over-concerning, I guess, to be concerned about whether or not watching something more than once is illegal, because there are many, many, many more illegal things you could be doing rather than watching something more than once. So let's just say that, such as pirating said show.
Uh-huh.
So,
and, you know, back in the days of VCR, you just rewind the tape. After recording it, I want to watch it again, and you just rewind the tape.
Yeah, exactly. So, also, one more thing with this. There's a complete way to go about this. It's called using the analog output on your cable box and recording the video on a pre-made system that you got for recording video. So, that's another way of going about it.
Alrighty then.
That's what I do if I want to take a show that I've recorded for archiving. I have this little box that connects up to the TV's component output, and then that goes into the computer and it records it. In full
okay.
HD with 5.1 surround. P.S. I would like to publicly apologize for mentioning that gold selling site on RuneWire. To everybody in the community, I did not know it was even an existing site. I only stayed on RuneWire because I felt for the instant mute trick, and I assumed others would get the joke and still enjoy it.
Okay. You still got in trouble for it, though.
Yes, you did, Firing.
Alrighty. You want to see the next one? It's your best friend.
Fire Ring, we can talk about your record some other time, but Trekkie was aware of this too, because he is a mod, so. Alright, next one is from Duke Juker. Hello, gentlemen. Gentlemen. Four questions. Who do you consider the greatest RS player of all time, and by greatest I mean best, not necessarily the most popular?
You want to go first?
Yeah. Because I think it's completely, without a question, me.
Okay. Someone has some ego problems tonight, but okay.
No. I'm just kidding.
Your ego's getting ahead of you, Shane.
I'm just kidding. But I don't know. I don't know who I'd say. There's so many different ways to go about this. Good in terms of the stats they have, or good in terms of what they do, or good in the way that they did something first that nobody else did. I don't know. One player I'd always be able to tell people about is Larry R. He was, I think he was second to 99 RuneCrafting.
Okay.
But he had for a long time the most RuneCrafting XP, and he had this RuneCrafting business back in the day when RS2 first came out, just that summer, in which people could go run nature runes for him, of course, helping him get closer to the levels that they want to get. Helping him get the levels he wants to get, and in doing this, would be a good way for people to make money. This was back in the day when nature talismans were 40k each. So one of your first rewards you'd get from working for him would be a nature talisman. Then the bigger reward you get later on would be an Amulet of Glory. And just remember how much Amulets of Glory were worth way back then. So,
it was standard 100k.
Exactly.
It was standard.
It's just nice to see something like that. I don't know if there's anything like that still exists. So I always think highly of him, the way that that business was run and everything.
And it kind of spurred the whole law running too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Although it didn't exactly, not exactly the same way, but it still got there. I don't know. For me, I don't really know. I would like to say, just one of the, not exactly popular now anymore, but he's more of a father figure in RuneScape a long time ago. It would be the old knight. Remember him, Shane?
Yep.
He used to be one of those that you aspired to be, and I think in some way it kind of made me want to be like him, because I want to get super high up as well.
But the thing is, in this day and age, the RuneScape high scores have changed so much, and who knows who these people are on the top of the list? Like, they're not as iconic as they used to be. So.
Well, the most, still one of the most popular ones is Zezima, but he's, you know, not number one anymore because some people are no lifing like crazy to 200, and you know, I applaud them if they manage to keep their brains intact for doing all of that, or if they're and, or if I should be ashamed because they may be botting. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's also something to look at now, too, at who exactly is botting in this. Like, I mean, it's just insane if you look at how many people, for example, have 120 Dungeoneering at 200 mil XP.
Well, actually getting that, it's not that hard.
But just so many people are maxing out all these skills. Is that because there's more people playing? Or were all these people able to bot their skills and not get detected?
Well, also remember Dungeoneering now, you can buy the skill just by leeching off of people.
Yeah, buying floors too.
Nobody, I barely see many people doing the floors, dungeon floor regularly.
Yeah, that's something you were mentioning last night, is that Dungeoneering worlds are nowadays just buying floor worlds.
Yeah, it's like, I literally muted an entire list of people who just was spamming, buying, selling so-and-so floor. And, you know, I took a look at it and I was like, you know, the number of people who's trying to get a group together, number of people who's just selling it, they're more or less on par.
Yeah.
And more than likely, there's always some level 3 person whose name is selling leech floors, and sure enough, he's someone just spamming it. But whether or not it's a bot or not, it's totally up to them. But if you think about it, if that person's level 3, it doesn't really say much for their clan.
Yeah, exactly. And just for the record, there are currently 379 people with 200 million XP in Dungeoneering.
Okay.
I just wanted to look that up.
Okay. So let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
What's part 2 of his question?
Oh, right. I was reading this. If you had to remove one item from RuneScape, what would it be and why?
I don't know.
I don't think removing an item is going to necessarily fix anything.
Let's see. What would I...
I have this idea of what I would do as the lead RuneScape designer and how I would change the way quests and skills work and everything, but that's different. So I think one of the main things I'd like to remove would be... all the things people use for gambling, like the flowers and whatnot.
Yeah.
What are the other ones? What do you use to do the hot and cold game?
You use flowers for that one. I could see. get rid of flowers. Used to be the dice game, and was the tour horsey thing. And
yeah.
I should never trust those people anyway.
Yeah, and then you see how far something goes or whatever. I mean, like, it's nice to have these items like that, but they create too much gambling, illegitimate gambling, and I'm certain now that the Squeal of Fortune has not fixed that, because, you know, you still see that going on, and people don't want to spend real money to get their gambling fixed. So they do still, in my view, need to do something with that. It would be nice to see the removal of something to do to have gambling like that gone.
So, you think Jagex should sell gold?
Yeah, I think so. Except I don't think it should be actual GP. I think it should be something like dilithium is on Star Trek Online, where it's a different currency than the main type of GP.
And what would you use it on?
I don't know. You could use it on anything you want to use it on, like specific items. Like, you couldn't use it to buy stuff off the GE, but you could go to shops and whatnot and use it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of my biggest pet peeves if we're talking about removing items like that. All right, part 3. What is the ideal career or job you'd like to have in the future? And all three of these were from Duke Juker.
Hmm.
Shane's probably some computer nerd.
You can go first. I went first on the last two.
I went, my ideal job. Fixing this, well, I would like a job where I'm fixing the mess that the last generation left us in.
Like what, the credit card mess and everything?
I do want to go back into health education. When I was in school, I always liked it. When I was interning, I really enjoyed it. I just couldn't stay there very long. It was fun.
Okay. So what exactly would you like to fix, though?
Let's see. I want to try and work with the educating people on computer safety. Let's face it, this world is not built for computer savvy people. And even now, there are plenty of really computer literate people out there. So it would be nice to try and start. I wouldn't mind touching into cybercrime.
Okay.
I don't think I'll ever go that far in, though. For now, yeah. I'll be happy with a nice little desk job that I'm trying to get with my second major.
You know, cybercrime is an interesting thing, and lots more people need to be taking that seriously, governments included. I think it was in the last couple of years, recently, that governments actually started taking note of this. So you definitely do have a point there with cybersecurity, and it's something that does need to be worked on in the future. And that is something I'd like to do, but it's not necessarily my favorite area as to what I've been working on. So, I just don't think that that's something I'd like to do long-term, cybersecurity. It's interesting, but not long-term. But going from this, probably some kind of interface designing type thing, because if you look at the interfaces that we're using in this day and age on our computers, they're old and they haven't changed in decades. So something needs to be done with them, but I don't exactly know what yet, and it would take a decent amount of thinking to make it usable for everybody and, of course, encourage the transition, because all you need to do is look at the current commotion that's going on about Windows 8, which is going to tip the Windows interface upside down, and people are not happy with that. So there needs to be a way to bring change in, but also make it so that the user will see the benefit of your change.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. Last one.
Okay. Let's see. This is from Poison Nova. Dear Shane and Trekkie, I will be starting my first year of university in the fall. So my question is, do you have any general advice for your first year university student? Read the syllabus. You will get screwed with that so fast that you will have no idea what hit you. You will think, size triple X font. Oh, that was bad. size 35 font with max of bold and underline saying that you will procrastinate, and suddenly you find out that, oh, your paper is due in like 3 days from now, and then you pull an all-nighter.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, get a nice little calendar, mark the days that your stuff is due, make sure you turn in all the stuff on time. Because usually what kills students is that you don't turn in on time. Try to find decent teachers, not the junkie who would just fail everybody.
Yes,
can.
Yeah, that's true. And also try to find the ones that speak decent English. Because in my program, there were lots of foreign teachers, and they could not speak
Indian?
Proper English. No, they're everywhere. So.
Well, your computer science major doesn't expect it.
Exactly. So try and find ones that you can actually understand through their accents.
Well, it depends what you're majoring, and if you're living in a dormitory, hang out with the good crowd, unless you like to drink and party, but that can be bad. Let's see. Any other dorm advice? Oh, yeah, and let's see. If you're living in the dorm, make sure you have a very good locked door.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I want to ask why.
Because people used to go into dorms and rob rooms and whatnot that were not locked.
Okay.
My old dormitory, after I left, had a crazy incident of people using credit cards to get into people's room.
Really?
Like, you know, slide it between the door itself, and they somehow got in, and supposedly like a couple of laptops and stuff were stolen.
Wow.
Yeah. So make sure it has. If you're living in a dorm, make sure it has a good lock.
Yep. Okay. My advice would be simple. First and foremost, of course, as we mentioned, keep to your schedule. Make sure that you keep a schedule that is decent and stay on top of your deadlines, because if you do not stay on top of your deadlines, that will be your downfall. You do not want to go down because you failed the deadline.
Yeah,
I've seen that happen to people, so you need to stay on top of that.
And honestly, missing the deadline is usually what kills a lot of students, because, it's due tomorrow, then they completely forget about it.
Yep,
and
that's right.
And that's usually what gets people between a C and an F.
Yep, that's true.
And, oh yeah, and don't
and
drink
even
and
C
drive.
Is, C
don't
isn't,
drink and drive.
C isn't that decent, but I don't know what it is there, but you needed to have like a C+ to pass on what I was doing.
Well, it depends on the major now with all the budget cuts that's been happening.
Okay.
If you're doing master program, you're not allowed to go below a B.
Well, that makes sense.
And a couple of others, if you get you have to get at least a B- to pass the class because of how the budget is. So they're trying to weed out the stupid people.
And, you know, with that being said, there are a lot of stupid people at university, even though it appears that they have the credentials to get there.
So don't drink and drive, and don't do drugs. Those two would kill you.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, try to avoid the partying thing altogether. So
you can party, but make sure your party fits with your schedule.
Did you do that?
No. Actually, well, I did once. But the party was more of like five guys going out to the little restaurant thing across the street.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't really count. I'm talking about the kind where they have 40 people over and whatnot. So,
nah, never went to those.
Okay, well,
usually
that's good.
That was the frat houses in the back, and they had some trouble a couple of years back. That was not pretty. It was all over the school newspaper, and it was just like it was so ashamed.
Another thing that you really need to mention or need to remember is that a code of ethics is a good thing to have. Don't be afraid to report people for plagiarism, even if they're instructors. Yeah, just saying. I mean, the idea is everybody's supposed to be honorable and whatnot, especially if you're at a research-based institution. So keep that in mind.
Okay. So,
all right.
Thank you, Poison Nova. That's it for questions.
I'm finished with that one. So.
All right. Tech news, the Facebook camera.
Yes. So this was interesting when I read the news. As we all know, I don't use Instagram and I don't use Facebook.
I don't use either.
So, and we all know Facebook bought Instagram a few weeks back. So, this camera application apparently is a way to view all of the pictures of yours and your friends in a combined little application and take pictures and post them as well. Now, the thing with this is they've also got filters like this that are similar to Instagram. They look similar, but of course they got different names. And, you know, apparently, these two things were not linked together, the purchase of Instagram and releasing this camera application. So, I mean, it's not like this is what they bought Instagram for, because of course if Facebook wanted, they would have the engineering talent to put something like this together. But it's just strange that they would do something like this when they've just acquired Instagram, when they could put out a custom-based Instagram application to do the same thing. So, I mean, it just didn't make sense to me. And I'm wondering how many people are actually going to use this, because if you think about it, if you're taking pictures and you're posting them through mobile, you've already got the Facebook application on your phone.
Yep.
And you already have Instagram. And you can just post to Facebook with Instagram. So since they own these two now, this seems kind of extraneous. I mean,
maybe they bought it just to get rid of the competition.
Well, it could be, or that they just didn't want to have similar looking filters and have some kind of legal issue, maybe. I don't know.
It could be. They did. You know, big companies buy stuff for a reason, not because they can make more money.
And to spend something like this, $1 billion on Instagram, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. I wish I had somebody on here who knew what this was all about and why this application happened and why after Instagram was here. I guess maybe they might have wanted to keep Instagram separate to not force everybody to use Facebook, because if you were doing that, you might have some kind of monopolistic kind of legal issues or something.
Basically, I'm just
why
saying,
we have two of these applications now.
Well, Facebook's trying to control everything, and everyone's trying to connect to Facebook. They're just trying to get a little monopoly thing going on.
Yeah, but why not use Instagram? Just use the Instagram app.
Maybe they, like I said, maybe they bought it just to get rid of the competition.
Okay. I mean, it just, the thing is that, like, yes, they could buy it, but I guess maybe to buy it, they'd want the ability to put it in so that they could actually have other people view pictures and whatnot that are on Facebook rather than just Instagram. So that'd make sense, and just use the Instagram core. That's probably the way it's going to go, I think. I mean, that makes sense, but it's still kind of weird. All right, so next up, Yahoo Access, which was marketed as a browser by Yahoo. You use Yahoo. What do you think of this? Have you seen anything of this?
Actually, I haven't looked at it at all.
Oh, okay. But you still use Yahoo, yes?
Yeah, I still use Yahoo primarily because when I had AT&T, they had a little partnership with Yahoo and AT&T, and it just was just easier to have my email with them and have all the other AT&T benefits of it. Just linked everything together.
Okay, so what Access is it's not a browser; it's an extension for Firefox, Safari, and Chrome. If you're on the desktop, and it runs as a little kind of like a discovery type thing for Yahoo search and whatnot. It just sits in the bottom of your browser. But they do have standalone applications for iPad and iPhone, and they actually do work as a browser on those platforms. Now, the interesting thing about this is that, it's marketed as a browser when, if they were trying to really compete with Chrome, Chrome's already been out for about 3 years or so. So it kind of, you know, doesn't make sense as to why Yahoo's getting into it this late. I personally think this is just a whole other way for them to search or bring people into their search, even though that's powered by Bing, which is kind of strange too. But, I think Yahoo's just trying to find a way to redefine themselves. That's it.
I don't remember if you remember this, but about 2 weeks ago, they found out that their CEO did not actually have a bachelor's in computer science.
Yeah, and then they got rid of him for that. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
that's so they've been having a lot of management issues, and they're trying. They just don't know what to do right now. Everything that they want to do, Google has already done it and surpassed them in every way they could. Everybody now mostly use Google to search for everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when people yahooed.
Yahooed.
Yeah.
Like they said, Yahoo!
Back in those days, it was, you know, search company was Yahoo, and that's what he used to find stuff for college papers.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Yahoo is one of the first search engines I used when we got the internet, because Google was still in its
Google
infancy.
Google wasn't even out yet. Well, not out yet.
And Google had had a hierarchical index system based on categories, whereas Google was just the current word index that we have now. But, I just don't see the point to this. I mean, it's an interesting way of doing this, and it looks okay, but it's not as fluid as it could be. So, I mean, it's decent for an attempt, but I really don't think it's going to amount to much. And they have this rather interesting ad that you guys should all go watch, because I can't make sense of the ad. It's just strange. So, anyways, I don't think this is going anywhere. I think this is a last-ditched attempt at Yahoo. Maybe they should have actually been sold to Microsoft.
Yeah, they tried. Well, Microsoft did try to buy them a couple of years ago, but the CEO said no.
Yeah, well, I think they should have bought them given what we've seen now. All right. Well, moving on. This next one isn't exactly tech news, but it's interesting nonetheless, because it's a completely new way of doing space exploration. Well, at least heading in that direction. This week, a rocket launched by the company called SpaceX sent a capsule up to the International Space Station on a resupply mission. And normally, this has been done, of course, in the past by the Space Shuttle and the Russian Soyuz capsules. But now, this is groundbreaking, because it is the first private company to do so successfully, should add. People were always concerned about, is private companies right for doing this? What's happening with the space program and whatnot? Is this the right way to be going? Personally, I don't think so, but definitely it worked, and the capsule got there and docked. So history was made earlier this week in that the first private spacecraft made its way to the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm. And, we'll see if they keep on with space exploration.
You know, the reason they say that this is happening is because NASA wants to focus on its sights on farther objects, specifically Mars and an asteroid. So they decided, we're not going to focus on this low Earth stuff anymore. We're going to contract this out to the private sector.
Mm. Which, as I recall, a couple years ago, Google did say they'll give someone, $1 billion to whoever gets back to the moon? I think it was $1 billion.
Was that Google? I don't remember who that was.
I believe it was Google. I remember Google saying they would pay. Let me try to find that article again. Google.
But in any case, I think the U.S. needs something a little bit more than the private capsules to go there, because the asteroid and the Mars mission is pretty far off, and it's actually this week that the Russians had said they want to establish a permanent base on the moon. So that might ignite another space race. That would be good for the U.S. space program. And I'm not going to get into who we have to blame for this, but it's pretty apparent as to why this thing is why the space program is winding down. So, if you find that article, put it in the notes. But I just wanted to bring this to everyone's attention, because history was made this week.
Okay.
Did you manage to find it?
I found it, but it was on a good source.
Oh, okay.
Looking for a better one.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to move on to the Skill of the Month update and talk about what we have so far. Well, currently, still, Dungeoneering Skill of the Month. First up is Metal Maniac 9 with 4.49 million experience. Second is Alta with 4.1 million experience. And third is One Stone Poem with 1.5 million experience. So we're relatively the same position that we were in last week. I think One Stone Pwn picked up number two after being relatively far back last week. I mean, One Stone Pwn picked up third place. Sorry about that. And Metal Maniac 9 has a somewhat healthy lead over Alta, but still a few days left in the month and anything could happen because it is Dungeoneering after all. And as we all know, at the high levels, Dungeoneering goes pretty fast.
There you go.
And of course, there are still three people who did not get XP. So if you're one of those people, you should get some experience.
Yes, don't look that bad.
And with that being said, skill of the month for June is summoning.
Oh, fun.
Why?
How many times do we get summoning now?
I don't know.
Has there been a skill that hasn't been in the skill of the month yet?
I think so, yeah. We've had summoning 5 times so far. This will be time number 6.
Any of them that has not been on? I don't think anybody did. We have an RC one? I think we did.
Yeah, we did. I don't think we've had a strength skill of the month.
That hasn't happened in a long time.
Oh yeah, we have had strength. I think we've had pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Just a lot of summoning.
Yeah, a lot of summoning. So.
I hope you guys saved up your charms.
Yeah, you know, I already used my charms. So.
Well, maybe I'll enter it for the heck of it, because I'm just going to make one giant batch and be done with it.
Yeah, see what you can do, and who knows, that might be enough to win if nobody else is up for another combat skill of the month.
I doubt it. People are crazy about these things.
Yeah, they are. So, anyways, no achievements of the week, so next week we'll be looking to see if anybody else got level 99 in anything. So, pick time. You have a pick for us, I believe?
Oh, well, Shane, yes, I do have a pick. So, Shane, school is out, summer's here. What's the first thing most people do during the summertime?
Sleep.
Well, besides that.
Okay.
What? They go out to the beach and have some fun in the sun and play in the sand.
We don't have beaches here.
Well, that's your fault, isn't it? You know, you should have made a canal going to the beach. Anyway, so I was stumbling across this the other week, and it's another drawing sand with sand game. So you basically have the whole screen to yourself. You can draw, you can do whatever you want. There's a little box on the top left that shows you what to do. Some small instructions, and I do recommend muting the mic. Not muting the mic. Muting the sound, because the sound of sand dropping is not very good. But you can change to almost any color in the known universe and have some fun with it. Yeah, see? Sounds like static.
That's what sand sounds like, apparently.
It sounds,
like a TV that's off the air.
Sounds like Channel 1. Oh, back when Channel 1 actually had nothing. Hey, quit it! God.
Yeah, so this is sand.com. All right, so you can play in the sand.
Yes, and here's my little quick picture that I did.
Let's see what you made. Oh, that's nice. It looks like a nice little mountain range. You know, given what the state of art is these days, you could print that on a canvas and hang it up and sell it as art.
Maybe. Gotta find good paper, the good quality paper, though.
Yeah, and add some texture onto it and you'd be good. You could sell that for at least $1,000.
Woo! Yes, my little pet peeve, though, is I don't have any ways to stop the sand from going in a certain direction, but
That'd be nice. But
that's the other sand drawing game from many years past.
Yeah. All right. So this is sand.com. Good job.
Yes. So have some fun and throw some sand around.
All right. And now next up, a little bit of a note for this weekend's boss takedown event. This is happening on Saturday. This show should be out very early Saturday, so if you're listening to this on Saturday, go. The event takes place at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Meet in Edgeville. Then you guys are going to the Zamorak God Wars Dungeon. So
woohoo!
If you're at all interested in a boss killing, please do go and and visit with Jeremy. I know he'd be happy to have as many of you guys who want to come as possible to his event and make it a happy event and maybe get some kind of decent drop from the Zamorek God Wars minions. So
and
please do go pay Jeremy a visit tomorrow.
And today, remember to bring a teleport.
That can yes, you because out. if you die in there, you will die, and you know it's not very fun when that happens.
Oh, I died once in there, and I lost my fury, because I you forgot know, to bring my teleport. I was sad.
Every God Wars boss that I've gone to, I've died at on the first trip. I've not fought the Zamorak ones yet, though, and I haven't died there. But I died first time at Armadil, the first time at Bandos, and the first time at Ceridomen.
I know me and Lieutenant Smack went there a couple of times, and only reason I died was because I was stupid enough. I was stupid enough not to bring a teleport because I completely forgot.
Yeah, one quick teleports are great.
Yes, I tried to use a home one, but it was too late. I was already dead. And you can't get out. That was
yeah,
sad.
Well, there's the lag issues with everything. But, yeah, so that's Zamorak God Wars today, Saturday. So please do go visit Jeremy. Information can be found on the forums, rsbb.com/forums. And, of course, also Monday on the PC gaming event, as we all remember last week, Paul was on, and he'd like us all to go to his PC gaming event on Monday. At this point, it's looking like it's going to be TF2. So Monday night, TF2, 8 p.m. in our RSBNB gaming server. And once again, can be found at rsbnb.com/forums. And also, let's remember that TF2 is a free game. So as long as you have somewhat of a decent computer, you will be able to play TF2 with us.
Yay!
And it's good fun. We usually get between 8 to 12 people, and you know, it works out quite well.
Mm-hmm. And you also get to stab people.
Stab, stab, stab.
Great. Look what you just made Reed do.
Stab, stab, stab.
Hey, quit it.
Stab, stab, stab.
Quit it or I'm going to leave me. Or I am going to leave.
Stab, stab,
stab. Don't Anyways. Make me push that button.
So, what have you been up to?
Actually was dungeoneering a little bit for most of the week after a little Slayer event. Managed to get another dungeon level. Managed to get to floor 46, and now I'm trying to... I just reset, so I'm ready to do everything else again.
Oh, that's good. Maybe I'll join you if we can get our group together, because I do need to do some dungeoneering.
Yes, and I remember somebody on the friend chat said that they finally got enough for a chaotic rapier.
Well, that's good. Remember.
I cannot remember. I want to say it was Mike, but I don't think it was Mike.
Yes, it was. He did get his rapier.
Ah, okay then. Good to know. And oh yeah, and if you want me to share my story about this stupid dungeon group that I had.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So I just a little dungeon clan chat that I use every once in a while when I want to do dungeon with, you know, hopefully decent people. And it turned out this group was worse than a pug group. Everybody was dying left and right because nobody was really communicating, and there was just not enough food. There was just not enough food to go around. So, you know, we found 4 cave moray spots and 4 blue crab spots, which are tier 9 and 10 fishing spots. I asked somebody, hey, if you can make a level 10 fire, that would be great. And someone told me, why don't you shut up and just do something useful? All right, then I sold all the fish and left. I sold all the fish to the smuggler, bought a bunch of cheap, you know, I don't remember what I bought. I think I bought just, you know, random, like 1,000 knives or something like that. And said, bye-bye.
Did you leave them the knives?
Oh, yeah. When you leave, I end up being dropped in the ground anyway. But anyway, I left and I went to World 77. And I actually, my pug group was actually better than the clan group. Which is just usually never happens.
Wow, that's amazing. But
I know.
Isn't World 77 one of the dungeoneering worlds you said that's just all buying about floors now and everything?
Well, all of them are, but you know, there's still people trying to get a group together. It's just you'll end up having to spend at least, I want to say, 5 minutes just muting, ignoring all these floor sellers. Because it does get very annoying. But yeah. so far I had some pretty decent people, and everybody I was with was around, you know, 90 and up. So we all kind of knew what to do. We were not the fastest, but we know what to do. But it was fun. It was all in good fun. Got my level, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, dungeoneering floor selling is like a trust trade, so it's really a matter of whether or not people do it. I don't think Jagex has done anything about it yet, and there's no way to do anything about it. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about these people. It's just unfortunate that that's the way dungeoneering is. So, anyways.
Alrighty then.
I will talk about what I did this week. This week, I got, after we did the show last week, I got 88 summoning.
Huzzah. You go to Club Course now?
Yeah, I need to go there and do some of those. I already went for one night. Nothing from there. But after that, I did some rune spanning, got 86 rune crafting, currently going for 88. And just See, doing the funny. Daily flasks and everything. So, yeah, you're right. It's like you can never leave once you go there. So that's just the way it is. And of course the quest. But that's about it I did on RuneScape this week. So,
all right. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we're done. Unless you have anything to add.
Have a wonderful summer, and I hope you guys have fruitful adventure stories to tell during the fall to all your friends.
But we're going to be seeing them again next week, so it doesn't seem right that you should be saying goodbye to them.
I just said have a wonderful summer.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, we'll see you all next week, everyone, right. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.